When it comes to gun violence, 2020 never ended. Shootings and murder rates spiked that year, and those numbers have stayed high. Just yesterday, there were shootings with at least 3 fatalities in Houston, Detroit, and Bend, Oregon. After a third straight summer of this violence, people in some communities talk of a new normal, which involves a lot of gunplay. NPR's Martin Costi has the story.
National statistics for this summer are still being compiled, but since May, there's been a steady stream of grim stories. From the Bronx...
Right now at 5:30, the father of an 11-year-old girl killed by a stray bullet...
...to Minnesota's Mall of America...
But police say someone from that group walked back to the front of the store and started shooting multiple rounds...
...to the Pacific Northwest.
Tacoma police say that a group of juveniles were in a vehicle and fired shots, and that 14-year-old girl was shot inside...
And one thing you notice is how chaotic many of these shootings are. The police have noticed this, too. A new report from the Major Cities Chiefs Association talks about, quote, the sheer number of bullets used in these incidents. And it's an impression that's reflected in the numbers.
Yeah, I had a conversation with my analyst a few days ago, and he was just mentioning the rise in reckless-type shootings.
That's Elon Vaught, a prosecutor in King County, Washington, where Seattle is. The analyst he's talking about there is part of a project that counts and categorizes all illegal shootings in the county. These are some of the most up-to-date, detailed numbers for gun violence that we have in the U.S. And one thing you see right away is the narrowness of the demographics.
People of color, 18, 24-year-olds, maybe even slightly older than that. When you look at the map and you combine that with the statistics, it's eerily similar to these areas that have high poverty rates.
In fact, in the second quarter of this year, African Americans were almost half of all the shooting victims in the county, even though they're only about 6% of the population. The prosecutor's office collects these data to try to identify at-risk people and offer services which might head off more violence. But going back to what Vaught was saying about reckless shooting, their latest statistics count twice as many shots fired this spring and early summer compared to the same period before the pandemic. More than twice as many.
This is definitely not the 90s, what we're seeing. The 90s was much more gang-oriented. There's much more organized, sort of targeted shootings. Today, it's just petty offenses, petty conflicts, reckless shootings.
But experts say what looks like random shooting can sometimes be more targeted than we realize.
The big change in recent year, you could argue, is probably has more to do with social media.
Temple University criminologist Jason Gravel studies gun violence, especially among young people.
It might look like it's just some random shooting on the street, but if that was preceded by a bunch of verbal threats or attacks online or social media, you just don't see the first part of the conflict. You just see the end result.
And that's just what you hear at this youth program outside Seattle called Choose 180, where a 16-year-old says he often sees kids flashing their guns online.
People have it on mostly Snapchat, some of them usually smoking in a car and then holding out a gun, flashing the laser sight, just saying, hey, I have this, don't mess with me. Be scared of me, basically.
We're just going to call him by his initial, G, because of his age and the topic. G says sometimes the trouble starts when kids have a fist fight and post the video online.
And then usually afterwards, their friends are like, all right, we're going to slide with a pole.
A pole here is slang for gun.
One of the friends might say, oh, I'm a slide for you. I'm slide for you real quick with the pole on me. And that usually means like, hey, I don't care that you lost, but we're going to go like get the deed done, basically.
G says he does not carry a gun, but he's seen them at his school. And at parties, he's learned that when someone's got one hand hidden inside of a backpack, it's time to get out. LaMaria Pope runs this youth center, and she says the kids here may be too young to realize just how much gun culture changed in 2020. But it was obvious to her.
I know I lost a couple people around that time due to gun violence.
Schools in the Seattle area took a year to return to in-person classes, and Pope thinks teens just had too much time on their hands.
Kids were finding their parents' guns because they're in the house, no school, no work. I definitely think during that pandemic it just kind of opened up a window.
Prosecutors say kids and felons are using guns taken from legal gun owners, and there are more of them now. Gun sales broke records during COVID, and a paper in the Annals of Internal Medicine calculates that about 3% of U.S. adults became new gun owners. But at Temple University, Gravel is reluctant to single out one cause.
There's so many kind of factors that, you know, led to this increase in violence that we'll probably never know exactly what the causes. In fact, the cause is probably the whole, you know, all of the above.
In other words, closed schools, economic stresses, change policing, and so on. For him, the real question now is, will this violence last?
I don't know if what we're seeing in 2021, 2022 is just a reverberation of kind of this initial spike in violence, and maybe it'll go down on its own.
Cities aren't waiting to find out. Some are rebuilding the anti-gun crime units that fell out of favor in 2020. And there's millions in federal money flowing through the cities to nonprofits which try to intervene in affected communities.
The only way we're going to get to true peace is if we move from over here, all right? Like this. Like this.
Some of those groups in Seattle recently held a Stop the Gun Violence Teen Peace Festival. One of the invited speakers was Anthony Branch, a man in his 20s who got into trouble with guns when he was a kid. After he gave his talk, we asked him about this post-pandemic reality. And he says you can just tell that the guns are around.
It's like smelling a cigarette when you and you're never seeing it. You know it's been smoked, you know what I mean?
He has a simple explanation for why kids and felons are carrying guns illegally. Since 2020, Seattle just has fewer police.
They're only going to search for priorities. If they're not going to be a lot of people to respond, then we're going to just do it.
But given what's been going on, he can also see why people do it.
What are you going to do when you win the fight and somebody shoots you? Or you have a beef that's so bad, you lose the fight and they still shoot you. But that's why all these youngsters, or I mean older cats too, want to carry so much. You know, it's the uncertainty of it.
Uncertainty is a common refrain at this event, even from Deja Jones, a poised young woman who also spoke about her losses.
I had a friend, Royo, he passed away. It was a drive-by shooting. My cousin getting shot at South Center Mall the day before Thanksgiving. There's no clear line of what is happening or how it's happening. It's just, I feel like people just being ignorant.
She hopes this will turn out to be a passing post-pandemic phase. But in the meantime, she says she's taken out a concealed pistol license and is thinking about getting a gun of her own. Martin Costi, NPR News.